Christy back for just a couple of days. She'll be returning, but she's been out for course graduation and just to see family, and it's been good to have her here for a couple of days. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 51, 51st Psalm, and tonight we are going to continue. I didn't intend for it to be a broken up series, a mini series, three messages on the subject of three dangerous prayers, but tonight we come to the second of the three dangerous prayers. And from Psalm 51, I'm going to let you remain seated there, but Psalm 51 and verse number 17, our text verse tonight says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, a few weeks ago, we began just talking about dangerous prayers. And by dangerous, we're not talking about bad prayers. We're talking about good prayers. And we're not talking about prayers that will hurt you, but we are talking about prayers that are hard to pray and certain that God will answer. And they're prayers that we encourage you to consider praying. A couple of weeks ago, we started with the prayer, "Search me." As David said, "Search me, O God." Tonight, I want to continue, and tonight I want to talk about the prayer, although it's not worded word for word the way in the Bible. The concept is certainly there. Break me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'd use us tonight and help me as I try and preach this message. Use it, I pray, for every one of us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God values broken things. How many times have you ever broken a dish? And you've got just, you know, little bits and pieces that are around. And that dish, boy, it may seem like, you know, that piece, you might even, you know, take some glue. And you might even glue the broken pieces together. And it will serve some ornamental value because, after all, it's at least not discarded. But it doesn't have the same value. It's not worth as much unless you happen to be from Japan. And in Japan, they actually do something. It's called kintsugi. And kintsugi is actually, it's an art. It's about 500 years old. But if you notice the cracks in this particular bowl actually indicate that it is a valued piece. It is actually more valuable broken. And here's why. 500 years ago, there was some kind of a ruler that determined that, listen, he didn't want to discard some very cherished. It wasn't just simply that you could just simply some of these rare pieces of pottery. And so he made sure that when something was broken, it became more valuable because they would literally, and they would fill the crack with a lacquer that was full of gold or silver powder. And so what you're actually seeing is you are seeing gold. You're seeing silver that has literally now bought. And therefore, in the art of kintsugi, in fact, they were even having this problem many, many years ago where people were actually on purpose breaking their dishes in order to make them more valuable. Now, I don't suggest you do that here tonight, but I just want to say God values brokenness. In fact, he needs brokenness. That is why we read verses such as Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. God likes it. How about James 4 and verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, several examples of brokenness is necessary in order for there to be anything useful. Take, for instance, mining. You cannot mine some of the rare gems of the earth without breaking open the earth. You have to create a mine, a shaft, a hole. You have to dig. You have to break open the earth to get the rare gems. How about farming? Farming is another example. You will never see the crops that will feed you, the crops that we desire without breaking, cultivating the land. How about in the area of sculpting, in art? Sculptures are made when you take a stone, you take clay, and you'll literally form, you will literally chip and break away. Brokenness creates the beauty in art. You know, brokenness is not just simply something that we notice. In addition, we need to have brokenness in our lives. If you're not broken, then why do you even need God? And that's the point, and it was interesting, even as Brother McKinney, again, he and I didn't talk either before my message, but how he sort of brought that same point home, that God needs us and to be broken, and God needs us to be empty so that he can fill us. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the very first scripture that Jesus preached from was this verse. In Isaiah 61, 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to do what? To bind up the brokenhearted. Now, let me just say that this is not a fun prayer. It is not a prayer to be taken lightly. It is a serious prayer. And again, I say that I'm not saying that everybody here will pray this prayer, but you ought to. You ought to pray such a prayer. Get ready if you pray this prayer. God may do what you ask. And he may break you in some way. He may break your health. That's why I say this is a serious prayer. You know, if you, by the way, say, God, whatever you want me to do, get ready for God to do the whatever. Did you really mean whatever? Did you really mean whenever? Did you really mean however? Get ready if you pray this prayer. It may mean that God may break you in your wealth. Now, you could be asking God here, again, what was necessary in the life of Job. Literally, the life of Job shows that God can actually do some work through temporarily, at least in Job's life, with taking everything away. Get ready if you pray this prayer. It might mean something happens. You might lose your job, that you might lose your standing. You might lose a friendship or two. Something may come. It may seem like a crisis, but we know that with God that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to notice briefly here tonight because of time, but there's several examples in the Bible that I want you to see. Brokenness is a principle in the Bible. It's a principle in the Bible. I want you to notice, first of all, the example in feeding the multitude, the loaves were broken. I'll just simply read for you from one of the examples. There are several, but in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 19, the Bible says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. I said it this morning when we did the Lord's Supper. I say those words, they're not just simply condition, tradition, but Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. Why did he break it? He broke the bread in order to remind us that he would be broken when he was given for us. Not only in the feeding of the multitude, the loaves were broken, but secondly, the box was broken. Mark 14 in verse number 3 says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. It's a story that's found in all four Gospels. By the way, there is not unanimity as far as the story is concerned. Many Bible teachers dispute whether or not this is one story or two. It very possibly might be two different times. Two boxes were broken by two different women. And why do we say that? Because there's differences. In one, the box is broken and his head is anointed. Another one, his feet. In one of the stories, we find that it mirrors the woman's forgiveness. In the other, it mirrors Christ's death. But in all of it, the box is broken. By the way, what was the box? The box was an alabaster box. By the way, I think I'm cutting out here. Can we just simply put me here on the pulpit mic? Because I think we're cutting out a little bit with this one here. The box that was broken was an alabaster box. What was that? That was a hard stone. That was a beautiful stone, a polished stone. But it was something that it took quite a bit of effort in order to get to the inside contents. Now, what is being even shown in the story where you've got a woman coming in and she breaks open this box? It's a valuable box to her. It's probably a valuable box to her family. But in showing this, what it's showing in part is that what's on the inside is valuable enough, and Jesus desires and Jesus needs it so much that he needs for the outside to be broken. Folks, that's you and I. You and I have something precious that Jesus wants.
We have something that is desirable that will only come about when we are broken for him. An Old Testament example of this, by the way, would be the story of Gideon. You remember the story of Gideon where here was this man, Gideon, and he's really an unlikely hero. As here, the Midianites, they just simply covered the whole land like grasshoppers. And God comes to Gideon and he says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." And he tells Gideon to go, but Gideon is not so sure. But finally, when Gideon is ready, he's got his 32,000 men. And God says, "You got too many. We need to get that number smaller." And he dwindles the 32,000 down to just simply a mere 10,000. And after that 10,000, he says, "You still have too many." He gives a test, and he's ended up with now 300 men. But wait, God is actually not finished. He says, "You have too much to be confident in. I am going to give you your weapons." And God gives each man, he gives him a trumpet, a ram's horn. He gives him a pitcher that inside is a lamp. And he says, "Now on the particular time, the specific time in the middle of the night, I want you to surround the camp of the Midianites and I want you to break the pitchers and blow the horns." Now, what that literally did when those pitchers were broken and when those horns were blown, it literally caused an instantaneous fright to the Midianites. Because, see, they heard with their ears, but they saw with their eyes what looked like an overwhelming force surrounding them. Now, the whole thing falls apart if you don't break the pitcher. If you don't break the pitcher, the light doesn't shine. By the way, the same is true with you. You realize Jesus called us the light of the world? But the light of the world without a broken pitcher is still in darkness. And you and I need to be broken if we are ever going to be used of God. The New Testament even says this in 2 Corinthians 4:17. But we have this treasure in what? In earthen vessels. You need to be broken in order to be used. Now, not only that, but number four at the Last Supper, the bread was broken again. You know, as we did this morning, observing the Lord's Supper, we go to all of the different Gospels, and every one of them, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 detailed this. One I didn't read this morning, but I'll read it to you now. Mark 14:22 says this, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" I said it this morning, that why is it broken? Why don't we have just simply one piece that we all eat on? We have a picture in the breaking of bread. The broken bread before us is a picture of Christ and his voluntary humility. As it says in the book of Philippians, Paul himself said of Christ that he made himself of no reputation. But he took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What does that mean? That means he was broken voluntarily for us. And that's, by the way, illustrated even in the body. Christ was not a whole sacrifice when he died. He was broken in many ways. Take, for instance, the piercings. Every part of his body was broken up. From his head, the crown of thorns, to his hands and his feet, those nails, to his back, the whips of the cat of nine tails, to his face that was beaten. He literally had wounds everywhere. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, that they broke him up. In addition, not only those piercings, those breakings, even the piercing, by the way, of the sword is to make sure that he was dead, that the soldier came by. But in addition, think about those bruises. You know what bruises are? Bruises literally happen when you have had some kind of a trauma to your body, and literally it is those little capillaries that are being broken in order to rush aid to your body. It's your body's way of literally dealing with the wound. That would mean, when it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, how many of you have ever had a black eye, for instance? I've had one. You ever had one of those? Those are great. Anybody ever had two? Anybody three? I want to see that. But listen, those bruises, sometimes black and blue arms and black and blue thighs and those wounds, and we see the woundedness. Jesus Christ would have been black and blue when he died on the cross, and then the blood was coming out of him. The point is this, that Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, he was explaining to his disciples that, listen, I'm going to show you not only by my words, but you're literally going to see from my body. I was broken for you. I was humbled for you. Therefore, number five, such voluntary brokenness should become our inspiration to volunteer a brokenness for him. Romans 12 and verse number 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Exactly what Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I close with a couple of illustrations, one of which the history books tell us that when the British Army surrendered to General Washington on that day, October in 1781, that the British Army hung their heads low as they were marched off to the ships. And as they boarded those ships to travel back to Great Britain. And as the surrender was made to Washington, and as he sat upon his steed, his favorite horse, Nelson, the truth of the matter is that the British Army didn't surrender voluntarily. They were forced. They were made to surrender. Now, by the way, God can make you surrender if he wants to. And if you don't surrender voluntarily, I will tell you that is probably what is going to happen. He has a way to make you humble. In fact, I can state with all certainty that the Bible says one day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you can either do it voluntarily or you will do it by his will. But you will be broken. That's why I say here tonight, why not be willing to just simply break? Why not be willing to say, Lord, break me? It's a dangerous prayer. I close with this final illustration, but Judson Vandeventer was raised in a Christian home in Michigan in the mid-1800s. As a young man, it was really obvious that he was very talented, first of all, as a musician. He had accepted Christ as Savior, and he would sing in church. He was also an artist, and really that was his forte. And he went to college, and his plan was, I'm going to produce art, I'm going to be an artist, and I'm going to make lots of money by my art. But for 5 long years, the Lord began to pick at his heart and began to ask more, began to ask for surrender. And it's finally after 5 long years of fighting it that Judson Vandeventer decided he was going to enter the ministry and become a preacher. And obviously using his music talent as well caused him also to write many songs. Among the songs that he wrote, probably the most famous is this one here, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I just want to encourage you here to not consider. It's a dangerous prayer. But get ready. If you ask God to break you, he will. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. And as Valerie comes and plays tonight, maybe she can even play that song, I Surrender All. Because tonight, that's really the most important thing. God wants a broken vessel.